It's a year to the day since the small town of Benton Harbor, Michigan, captured national attention. That was when Terrence Shearn, an African-American motorcyclist, died at the end of a high-speed police chase. His death triggered several days of riots. Eventually, the city quieted down, and the task of rebuilding began. The root causes of violence were addressed. New strategies to confront economic frustration and racial tension were put into place. A year is too soon to truly measure the effects of these efforts, but still a good moment to check in on the city's progress. If you live in or near Benton Harbor, give us a phone call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or send us an email, TOTN@NPR.org. Joining us now on the phone from her home in St. Joseph, the community beside Benton Harbor, is Kim Strode. She's a staff writer at the Herald Palladium, a newspaper which serves the Benton Harbor area. Good to speak with you again.
Thank you.
Remind us a bit about this community and why it was so susceptible to riots a year ago.
The community is mostly an African-American urban community, and there have been racial tensions and economic stresses for several years, and it was just ready and very ripe for the events that happened last year.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the responses to these riots? Financial assistance?
Yes, there's been a lot of financial assistance, both at the national level and at the state level. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development gave a $15 million HOPE grant recently to the city to help build new housing. There were about 25 houses that were burned down during the civil disturbance last year.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, there's $400,000+ going for a new summer recreation program for the city's children. The state has offered a summer job youth program for the youth in the city, and there's just been a lot of money funneled into the city in the last year.
I understand Habitat for Humanity, the Jimmy Carter project, is
yes.
Also targeted Benton Harbor.
Yes, they're doing their 2005 Blitz build in next summer, and they're building probably about 30 homes in a two-week period, so that will be very exciting also.
A lot of that is response from people outside Benton Harbor responding to the crisis there. What are people in Benton Harbor doing?
It's hard to say. There's mixed reaction to what's been happening over the last year. There's been a very increased police presence in the city. Both state and city police have been increased in the city, and many people don't view that as a positive thing. Many people view it as harassment or that they're being, you know, everything's being watched. But then on the other hand, there's people who have started to clean up the city. They've formed community watch groups, and they've started cleaning up the city, mowing yards and picking up trash. And so it's both sides of the spectrum.
They also voted out, I think, every public official who was in office a year ago.
Pretty much. The two most prominent, the city manager and the mayor, changed pretty much right after that in the fall. The city manager was actually fired by the city commission, and they voted in a new mayor. So a lot of that's changed, and they're trying to make strides forward as a new city commission. So,
Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255, and let's talk with Charlie, who's on the line with us from Palo Alto, California.
Hi, thanks.
You're welcome.
I actually used to go to Benton Harbor once a year for 6 years in a row to play a national golf tournament, and I found it was probably one of the poorest places in the country that I'd ever seen, and I traveled the country a significant amount, but if I remember correctly, I think a number of years ago, a lot of industry pulled out. There was a manufacturing industry that was thriving, and they pulled out, and just there was an absolute economic vacuum. And I'm wondering if what's left is a police force that represents the interests of the wealthier constituents in the area. And then you have lower economic status citizens that are probably completely fed up with what's probably an impossible situation with no jobs or really a positive outlook at all.
Kim Strode, does that sound like an accurate description?
It is a very difficult situation. The police force, does have a high presence in the city, and they're, you know, the whole country has had tough economic times, and that's definitely affected Benton Harbor as well. There was a thriving industrial base in Benton Harbor, and a lot of those have pulled out. But, for example, Whirlpool Corporation, which is an international corporation, did renovate a building on Main Street in Benton Harbor and has moved over 100 of their employees down there. So some of the people that are still here are trying to make differences. It's just a matter of attracting maybe outside businesses that will help fuel the economy, which has been difficult.
Thanks for the call, Charlie.
Bye.
How are people marking this anniversary in Benton Harbor today?
There's a vigil tonight. Terrence Sherrin's brother, Reynard, is holding a vigil at the intersection where he crashed into the building. And he's basically saying that this is something to get people to move forward, to kind of look back and get over the violence, get over the bad feelings that have happened over the last year in whatever respect, and just kind of move forward and you know, take a look at all the positive things that have happened and build on that.
From the reactions, this is not a new situation in Benton Harbor. The riots happened a year ago, but this problem has been festering there for quite some time. When outsiders, including the governor and people from state agencies, federal agencies, various well-meaning groups from the region and around the country come in and offer help, do people see this as, well, this is just temporary, or do they really think that this is going to be around to make a difference?
I think they're very, very skeptical. You know, they're always, you know, hesitant to accept new people that come in, whether they're from, you know, St. Joseph, a community right next door, or national or state officials. It's very, very skeptical, and they're kind of sitting back and just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. And, you know, a lot of the people that do live in Benton Harbor don't necessarily want people coming in and taking over their city and saying, this is what you need to do. They want to be able to do it themselves. So it's going to take a while before we can finally see some results, I think.
I think you mentioned the Whirlpool Corporation opening some new employment opportunities there in Benton Harbor. Is anybody else coming in with that real long-range jobs that will might fundamentally change the situation?
You know, I don't think that there's any significant numbers of jobs that are coming to Benton Harbor. Jeff Noel, the Cornerstone Alliance president, has even said that some businesses, after the disturbances last year, backed out of coming to Benton Harbor. So people, you know, with the economic situation the way it is, are not taking any risks in the city right now. So mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see if that changes anytime soon.
Well, thank you for let's see if we can sneak in one quick call. Tony is on the line with us from Benton Harbor. Tony, we have 30 seconds for you.
Yeah, thank you. I love your show, and I grew up in Benton Harbor. I now live in Washington, D.C. My family still lives there. And from everything that I'm hearing from my family and from what I see in visits going back, there's really been very little change. I know that there are some youth mentoring programs and some youth employment programs that my own brother has been approached to try and make something happen with that, but the city government and the county government have not really taken any steps to implement these programs. And so while I think it's great that a year later we're looking at this and seeing where we stand and what can be done further, I've got to say I don't think enough has been done, and I'm not convinced that government is really looking at this seriously enough and doing enough.
Okay, Tony, I'm afraid that's all the time we have, but we appreciate the phone call. And
thank you.
Kim Strode, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Kim Strode is a staff reporter with the Herald Palladium, and we reached her in St. Joseph, Michigan. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.